Oh, well, I hadn't been a homeowner for about 25 years. I'd sold my home. The kids all grew up. The dog ran away. The husband died. And I didn't kill him. Didn't have a thing to do with it. But I was renting. I had decided many years ago after selling my house, I didn't want the responsibility. And yet I just love living in a house. I'm not an apartment person. And after going on Social Security, you know, I retired in 90 and lived, you know, but I wanted a house. And yet, my Social Security certainly wouldn't have bought me a house. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and like today, 2 years ago, it would have bought me, I always use the analogy of a garage door. Today, I could buy a house for a mortgage of $105,000. I couldn't have 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted HUD. HUD sent me information. That information sent me to, is it NRS?
NHS.
NHS. And they gave me information as to what was available to me at my income level. Most of it was connected with first-time home buyers, because I'm not sure if you know, but if you haven't owned a home in 4 years, you're considered a first-time homeowner. Well, it had been like 25 years for me. So I like the concept of the land trust. Mm-hmm. I like the fact of a perpetual, you know, because the house I raised my kids in, we paid $27,000 in 72. It went for $250 about 3 years ago. Mm. This house will never do that. It'll always be available for someone lower moderate. And I feel like if there isn't a program by way of a system in place to ensure that, then we could literally move to a point where low-income people will not be able to afford to live with dignity, as I think we all have a right to. And especially, I think it's becoming evident now as many people who've moved to suburbs for various reasons are now wanting back into the city because of the high gas. Mm-hmm. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to put the burden on good property mm-hmm. in the areas that are most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So the land trust, for me, just the concept of it, was a seller for me. And then, of course, when I got all the details and realized that at my income level, I would be eligible for the grant, the full grant of $65,000, which then allowed me to move past that $105,000 mortgage mm-hmm. to $170,000 mortgage. And that just made it not just possible, but it made it real. So I can sell this program to somebody in Alaska.
Yeah.
They'd move to Minnesota for it.
And have you? I mean, not to Alaska,
oh, yeah.
but to
oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. Primarily because, you know, like most things, they're. I think the best form of advertisement is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And because I live this isn't a story I've read. This is a story I live, and working with the land trust families. We're all basically at that same place. So it's not just a gratefulness, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I was telling Jeff one day, I never had money, but I never knew that meant I was poor. So for me, not having money is not poor. Poor is a state of mind. Mm-hmm. And so the land trust allows people at whatever stage of life they're in to live in a manner they would like to, if the concept works for them. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it doesn't work for everyone. But talking about it and demonstrating the reality of the land trust model, it's a seller. Mm. Yeah.
And when did you buy this house?
2 years ago.
2 years.
2 years ago. I moved here 2 years ago in mm-hmm. June.
Mm-hmm. So tell me again what you find the difference in renting for 25 years.
Oh, I didn't rent.
For,
oh, I did.
Oh, I thought you said you rented.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes,
I thought
I
you
did.
Said you rented.
Oh, well,
years.
You know what? It was really interesting because I rented houses, obviously, because I'm a house person, as I said. You know what? The biggest problem for me, I couldn't paint the walls. you know? So I had to live with white walls. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for me, okay? For four of those years, I lived in my daughter's house. And in that house, it was like my house because mm-hmm. she left. I basically owned the house. I could do anything I wanted to. That was different. That felt more like my house, mm-hmm. except I was house poor. Because my rent was the mortgage, and that was $1,100. Well, my Social Security was not quite 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a matter of paying the rent, paying the utilities, and I always find a way to eat. You know, that's never a problem. But I didn't feel house poor, but I knew I was house poor. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time I decided, no. And then I moved into a one-bedroom apartment. Well, I need space, and I know that's a psychological thing, but I need space. Mm-hmm. And that one-bedroom didn't work for me. And that's when I said, let me check to see if there's something available.
Mm-hmm. And how did you hear about the land trust?
I heard it through NHS.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff and I were talking earlier about how with the mortgage crisis, mm-hmm. and housing crisis, that there's obviously many sad stories about that, but at the same time it's creating opportunities, right, for people to come back into the housing market that otherwise would not have been able to. Tell me how you feel the atmosphere is in your neighborhood are things starting to, are people starting
sad.
To feel better about it?
Not yet.
Not?
It's sad.
Really?
It's sad, yeah. Because many of the people who lost their homes were people mm-hmm. my age. So there were people who were part of the community. They didn't just live in the community. They were part of the community. And they were duped. So like anything, when you've been taken for a ride, you feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. And when you feel disrespected, then you have pain. And if you have pain, then you probably got anger. And all of those people are displaced. You know, they're somewhere else. I also must say that and this is my basic principle of life, I don't think they're accidents or coincidences. And I think there comes a time for change. And we don't necessarily create the opportunity for change, but when it comes, then we have to do the best we can. And many times, that's about, at my income level, I would be eligible for the grant, the full grant of $65,000, which then allowed me to move past that $105,000 mortgage mm-hmm. to $170,000 mortgage. And that just made it not just possible, but it made it real. So I can sell this program to somebody in Alaska.
Yeah.
They'd move to Minnesota for it.
And have you? I mean, not to Alaska,
oh, yeah.
but to
oh, yeah,
to
absolutely.
Other folks
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Primarily because, you know, like most things, they're I think the best form of advertisement is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And because I live this isn't a story I've read, this is a story I live. And working with the land trust families, we're all basically at that same place. So it's not just a gratefulness, you know. I think I was telling Jeff one day, I never had money, but I never knew that meant I was poor. So for me, not having money is not poor. Poor is a state of mind. And so the land trust allows people at whatever stage of life they're in to live in a manner they would like to, if the concept works for them. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it doesn't work for everyone. But talking about it and demonstrating the reality of the land trust model, it's a seller. Mm. Yeah.
And when did you buy this house?
2 years ago.
2 years.
2 years ago. I lived, moved here 2 years ago in June. Mm-hmm.
So tell me again what you find the difference in renting for 25 years.
Oh, I didn't rent. Oh, I did.
Oh, I thought
rent
you said you rented. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I thought you
did.
Said you rented. For
oh, well,
years.
You know what? It was really interesting because I rented houses, obviously, because I'm a house person, as I said. You know what? The biggest problem for me, I couldn't paint the walls. you know? So I had to live with white walls. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for me, okay? For 4 of those years, I lived in my daughter's house. And in that house, it was like my house because mm-hmm. she left. I basically owned the house. I could do anything I wanted to. That was different. That felt more like my house, mm-hmm. except I was house poor because my rent was the mortgage, mm-hmm. and that was $1,100. Well, my Social Security was not quite 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a matter of paying the rent, paying the utilities, and I always find a way to eat. You know, that's never a problem. But there wasn't, I didn't feel house poor, but I knew I was house poor. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time I decided, no. And then I moved into a one-bedroom apartment. Well, I need space. And I know that's a psychological thing, but I need space. Mm-hmm. And that one bedroom didn't work for me. And that's when I said, let me check to see if there's something available.
Mm-hmm. And how did you hear about the land trust?
I heard it through NHS.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff and I were talking earlier about how with the mortgage crisis, mm-hmm. and housing crisis, that there's obviously many sad stories about that, but at the same time it's creating opportunities, right, for people to come back into the housing market that otherwise would not have been able to. Tell me how you feel the atmosphere is in your neighborhood are people starting
sad
to feel better about it?
Not yet. It's sad.
Really?
It's sad, yeah. Because many of the people who lost their homes were people mm-hmm. my age. So there were people who were part of the community. They didn't just live in the community. They were part of the community. And they were duped. So like anything, when you've been taken for a ride, you feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. And when you feel disrespected, then you have pain. And if you have pain, then you probably got anger. And all of those people are displaced. You know, they're somewhere else. I also must say that I don't think, and this is my basic principle of life, I don't think they're accidents or coincidences, and I think there comes a time for change, and we don't necessarily create the opportunity for change, but when it comes, then we have to do the best we can, and many times, that's a betterment piece. So I can tell you right now, I sense there's more of a concern is, so who's going to be buying all these properties, mm-hmm. and who's going to be moving next door to me? Because what we found is as people lose their homes, many times investors buy the homes. Investors many times don't even live in the city, mm-hmm. and they will rent to anybody who can pay the rent. So you may or may not be getting a very good neighbor. Mm-hmm. If the homes are being purchased, obviously, by families or individuals, then that's considered for me new growth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's my hope. My hope is that, obviously, it's not going to be all of them, but the bulk of the homes will, in fact, be available for mm-hmm. people with families or people who are individuals, people who want to be part of a community, mm-hmm. Not transient. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being transient. I was for 25 years. I lived here and then I lived there. You know, this neighborhood, I think we des-